Pablo for breakfast.
Now, an Australian ban on animals in planes is potentially being relaxed later this year, meaning your dog may be able to fly in the cabin with its owner. Joining us on the phone today is dog behavioural expert Kathy Capellas-McLeod. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning, Pablo.
Now, this is interesting, isn't it? How do you see this shaking out? Because instantly, for me, I'm just like, where are they going to go to the toilet?
Yeah, look, same here. And I'm a dog lover, so I think that too. Look, like, I really think that a lot more thought needs to go into this, to be completely honest, because the toileting thing, you know, dogs are going to need to have a pee or a poo. They might vomit, just like, you know, people vomit right when they get airsick. So these things are going to happen. And even the best trained dogs will probably need to release their bladder. And I also think that a lot of dogs are going to be not included in this. So I can only visualise, you know, smaller dogs or some, you know, dogs that can fit on, you know, at the feet of the other, you know, their owner. I'm not too sure how it's going to work with what happens if you've got a middle seat, where's your medium-sized dog going to fit. So I feel that it's going to exclude a lot of dogs. But the toileting thing, a lot more thought needs to go into it with whatever the airlines are thinking. I like the idea, but I think more thinking needs to go behind it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, a St. Bernard is going to make it a little bit tough to all fit in those aisle seats, isn't it?
Well, this is it. And look, we could be funny with this and say, so when you do have, you know, a medium to large breed, are you going to actually have them on you know, sitting on the chair, which means do they actually have to, do you pay for, you know, the seat? Because, look, realistically, the giant breeds, they're probably, those poor buggers, they're going to go downstairs, aren't they? They're going to go in the cargo area. Their size will be enough to impact the fact that they can't get in purely on the size. And then, you know, you have people that will feel that, oh, gosh, my dog's been discriminated against, which it will. But we've got to be realistic. But then some little dogs might be actually quite antisocial, and although they can fit into a crate and on a person's lap, you know, you go and you might, you know, approach a little dog and think it's cute and might have, you know, have you.
Yeah.
And you think, well, hang on a minute, you know, behaviour-wise, that big, you know, that big Great Dane, you know, that's down in the cargo area missing out. But it's just realistically, you'd have to really redesign the whole way that your aeroplane's going to look.
Well, that's the other thing as well. For people out there that maybe have dog phobias or, you know, potentially, you know, you don't know at the time that you're going to be sitting next to a dog, because that's the other thing. You're not going to be able to have all the dogs in one section, because I imagine that's going to sort of fire some bad behaviours off. So they're going to have to be spread out throughout the cabin. And then who sits next to them? Yeah, that's the other interesting thing.
Who sits next to them? What happens if someone steps on a tail? These are the dogs that aren't crated, you know, et cetera. You've got, you know, the cynophobia, the fear of dogs. Some people, you know, it's huge. Not everyone's a dog lover. You know, will you have to, you know, be in a dispute with people? If one dog barks, will that set off another one? And then you've got and then people might then argue, well, look, what about when the baby cries? But we do have to think about these things. And my thought is that perhaps more consideration should be given to making the flight of those dogs that are left in the cargo area a lot more comfortable. Yeah. You know, what can we do down there where they are, you know, shoved away from their humans, make it more comfortable for them? So maybe more thought needs to go there rather than, you know, just isolating the ones that can't get in purely because of their size. Obviously, behaviour is a big thing too, but purely because of their size, they're going to be excluded. So I don't know. It's a good thing to think about. I don't think even – I've got Siberian Huskies, and I can already picture that if they shake – that if they're in a molting, you know, period, that, you know, someone's going to end up with a bit of fur in their meal.
Well, I remember you just sort of reminded me of something when I first, it must have been my second flight, and we went on holidays to Greece circa 1995. And on the Greek airlines back then, you could still smoke. So there were people smoking on the flight.
Oh,
and
gosh.
People brought their live chickens on the flight.
Oh, yeah.
And it was chaotic. I remember thinking, like, this is just wild. And I was only, you know, 10 or 11 at the time, but I remember thinking that was just madness.
I know. And look, the smoking for me already, because I can't handle smoking. I'm one of these people that really get affected by it. So that wouldn't work well for me at all. And look, I love chickens, but chickens will poop, and they'll poop rather frequently. And, you know, I don't know where they're going to poop. Are the people are going to start carrying things to hold the poop in? But look, the elimination, that's a big deal. We've got to think about that and the health aspect of it. But while it's a novel idea, I think more thought needs to be put into it. But, interesting. I know some places in Europe, like you were saying, they do have some exotic birds that they can bring on. And it's like, wow, this is pretty interesting.
If you want to find out more and if you want some dog behavioural tips, jump online at kathysdogtraining.com.au. Kathy, can't thank you enough. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Pablo.
Pablo for breakfast.